We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
Good morning. Welcome to Focus 580. It's our morning talk program. My name's David Inge. Glad to have you with us. Every 10 years after the census, the legislative districts here in the state are redrawn to take account of population changes. And this responsibility falls to the General Assembly, to the lawmakers in Springfield. If they cannot agree, then that goes to a bipartisan panel with an equal number of Republicans and Democrats. If they can't agree, then essentially what they do is they put the names of the parties into a hat and they draw one out. And that party gets to draw the map. Now, technically, that's not exactly how it works, but in effect, that's what it is. No other state in the country does it like this. A number of political reform and good government groups would like to change this process, and this morning we'll be talking about an effort aimed at doing just that. We have two guests with us this morning. Joining us by telephone, Jan Zarnick. She's the executive director of the League of Women Voters of Illinois. It's very much involved in this effort, something that is being called Fair Map. The Fair Map Amendment, and we'll be talking more about that in this program. Also joining us here in studio is Jim Nolan. He is a senior fellow at the Institute of Government and Public Affairs here at the University of Illinois, someone who has been involved in Illinois politics as both an observer and a participant for quite a while now, and has written a lot about Illinois politics. And I do just want to mention one book here just because it's brand new, something that he co-authored along with Sam Gove and Rick Winkle, a book that's titled Illinois Politics, A Citizen's Guide. It's just out. It's published by the University of Illinois Press. So if you're interested in some reading about Illinois politics, you can take a look at that. And also, as you listen to this conversation here, maybe if you're interested in reading more about the Fair Map Amendment, you can go to that a website for that, which is www.ilfairmap, just like it sounds, .com. Questions are welcome, too, here on the show in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. Toll-free, and that's 800-222-9455, and you may email your questions to will-talk@illinois.edu. Well, here on the telephone with us is Jan Zarnick. Good morning.
Good morning, David. Thank you so much for having me with you today.
And thanks for being with us. And Jim Nolan, thank you for having me here. Maybe I'll ask just right up front here for you, Jan, to talk a little bit about why it is that the League and a number of other organizations to campaign for political reform, the Better Government Association, Common Cause as well. So a lot of people are involved in this. But specifically, since you speak for the League, why is it that you decided to take this on?
There are two reasons we decided to take this on at this time. The first reason is that we are a multi-issue organization. We work on a lot of issues in addition to our good government work. We work on financial issues. We work on education issues. We work on criminal justice reform. There's a broad range of issues on which we work. And we do a lot of work with other organizations who are devoted to their single issue. And we have noticed for the past several years that in terms of the issue work we do, both on the League's behalf and in partnership with other organizations, year after year after year after year after year, we are going to the General Assembly and begging the same people to act on the really serious problems that the state is facing, and getting no result. And the reason that that happens is that the incumbents in the General Assembly are pretty much guaranteed re-election for two reasons: the way that our campaign finance system works in Illinois and the fact that they get to draw the districts from which they will run for re-election every 10 years. So there's no consequence for failing to act. And so that's the first reason. We thought we have to change this dynamic where they can do the worst job in the world in terms of providing leadership in this state government and still get reelected. And the taxpayers are paying their salaries, no less, to not deal with the state's problems. And the second reason is that we felt that voters were finally paying attention to what the state legislature does in a way that they have not in the past necessarily understood very well or, you know, didn't have time to think about. But with all of the corruption that's been in the news relative to our last couple of governors, and Jim Nolan, of course, can talk about the state's finances much better than I do. The fact that the state's about to be driven off a cliff financially and a lot of people and organizations in the state are suffering made us think that, you know, voters finally understand what the role and responsibility of the General Assembly is, and we think they care about how we need to be making it easier for some new people to run for office in the state and to send the message to our current legislators that, you know, you really need to deal with the state's problems or we're going to do something about it.
Yeah. I want to turn to Jim because I think there are a lot of people who would agree with what Ms. Zarnik just said, talking about Illinois politics, looking at the General Assembly and saying that here we're at a point where there are very few seats in the General Assembly that are really in contention. We got a place that's basically full of safe seats. How it is we got to that point, and does this business of who gets to draw the map make a big difference?
Yes, because the dynamics of drawing the map by the group drawing the map, the party drawing the map, is to make sure that the incumbents of that party are safe by concentrating favorable voters in those respective districts and either packing the minority party into a small number of districts or diluting the strength of the minority members. And as a result of this dynamic, what happens is that both the majority party and the lesser number of minority party members tend to be in safe districts. And as a result, we have only a handful of General Assembly primary contests this spring today, and we'll have very few in the fall.
You know, it really surprises me that we came to this point where, in effect, now three times in the last 30 years, we've gotten to this point where essentially a lottery decides who gets to draw the map. Nobody else does this. There's no other state that does this. And I was really struck by reading something about the people who drafted the current Constitution back in 1970, and that they thought it wouldn't come to that. They apparently thought that the parties wouldn't want to take the chance that in the toss of the coin, they would lose. But apparently, they are willing to take that chance, and enough so that now three times, 81, 91, 2001, it came down to drawing the name out of the hat.
A replica of Abraham Lincoln's, stovepipe hat,
no less. Yes, no less.
A wonderful exercise in democracy.
Yeah, exactly. So, do you have any sort of insight into what people were thinking about back in 1970 when we created the system that we have?
Well, at the time, they felt that indeed the two parties would not be willing to risk having the other party, through the luck of the draw, draw the maps. But it's a game of chicken in which neither side blinked and drove off the road. So they come to this collision in which it's forced the ninth majority member to be selected. And indeed, the party which is selected does the drawing of the map. So it has created a situation in which instead of the voters selecting their representatives, the representatives select their voters. And we have a situation in which the legislature, the legislative majority of the Democrats probably is a larger majority than is represented by partisan division in the state, even though the state is now considered to be a blue Democratic state.
Mm-hmm. And that happened because the Democrats got to draw the last map. And I do want to add something to what Jim said about whichever party is in power after the census, whether they control both houses of the General Assembly and the governor's office, which may be true next year, or whether they play the game of chicken and they draw out of the hat for winner take all. Whichever political leaders in the General Assembly have the power to draw the map, they protect the incumbents they like, and they redistrict out the incumbents that they don't like. So from the League's perspective, some of the very best members of the General Assembly, and we do want to be very clear that there have been some fine members of the General Assembly over the years. These are often the people that the leadership finds to be annoying. And so at redistricting time, their districts disappear. So it's just a terrible, terrible, terrible system in terms of what you want in a democracy. It's a system that's really not served the people of the state well at all.
And just I want to be perfectly clear about this drawing the name out of the hat business, that what happens is we have this panel that has 8 members, 4 Democrats and 4 Republicans. And if they can't agree, then what happens is actually what they do is that they choose a person, and they then each of them gets to choose a person. Those names go in so that then those names are drawn out. So then, in effect, what happens, we end up with a 9-member body that has one more of whichever. So that means that effectively then either whoever gets that additional person.
Yes, draws the map. Yes.
They get to draw the map.
Yes, the maps are probably already drawn, and the new member simply endorses the map of his or her party.
Yes, exactly.
Is it possible to say that the fact that the Democrats won the name draw in 2001, does that have something to do with the fact that now the Democrats control both houses of the General Assembly?
Yes. Jim Nolan described it perfectly. This is a blue state at this time, but Democrats are overrepresented in the General Assembly relative to what the Democrat vote is around the state. That is true. It's because they drew the districts. But I want to be very clear. We're castigating the Democrats who drew the map 10 years ago. When the Republicans had the opportunity to do the same, they did exactly the same thing as the Democrats did. My favorite quote on this, my favorite recent quote on this, has come from Senator Dale Ryder, a Republican from your area, in fact, who is a member of the Senate Redistricting Committee, who said at a recent hearing, I'm paraphrasing, but it was along the lines of, could we have a moment of confession here and admit that both parties have done this?
And again, to be clear, what it is that you're proposing and the other people who are backing the change here are proposing is going to a commission, a redistricting commission that would draw the map and making a process that would be completely open. Everybody would get to see how it worked. The General Assembly would still have to approve it. But the hope is that you'd get some of the politics out of it.
Well, we would get some of the politics out of it. Let me say that we are very, very limited by the state constitution in what we can do by citizen initiative. One of the questions we get as we travel around the state promoting the citizens initiative to reform redistricting is, why on earth are you still letting the legislative leaders appoint the members of the commission? And my answer is, well, the League of Women Voters really would love to be drawing the maps in this state. But if we go too far afield from what the current Constitution permits, we will not survive a constitutional challenge in the Supreme Court. So we cannot remove it completely from a political process. What our proposal does is, first of all, the legislative leaders still appoint the members of the commission, but they cannot appoint sitting legislators. They cannot appoint lobbyists. They cannot appoint the type of people that they have appointed to the redistricting commission in the past. Secondly, there is no advantage to playing chicken with the way this commission is set up. Each legislative leader appoints 2 members, so that's 8 members, and they pick the 9th. If a legislative leader thinks it's not in his or her interest to play, as it were, and they don't appoint members of the commission, the remaining members of the commission can simply proceed without them because it only takes a majority vote of the members on the commission or who should be appointed to the commission to act, number one. So there's no incentive to play chicken. Number two, the legislature does get 2 opportunities to appoint maps sent to them by the commission. If they fail to approve either the first or the second, then the commission has the power to approve a 3rd map. which could actually even be one of the two that the legislature did not approve. Also, the legislature would have to approve a map by a two-thirds majority that would force bipartisan compromise. We are insistent that the parties have to come to some compromise about how to do this, and that is the effect of our reform of redistricting. The other huge change is that, as you said, it'll be completely transparent. The proceedings will be open to the public. The public will be allowed to submit maps to the commission. And the Joyce Foundation is funding the development of software and a website that will have the new census data available to anyone who would like to produce a map for Illinois, for the whole state or any part of the state or for the community of interest they represent, to be submitted to the commission as well. So we really anticipate opening up the process in a way that has been unheard of in Illinois. In recent memory.
I have a caller here I want to get to, but just before that, I want to turn here to Jim. Is this change enough? If the lawmakers get to appoint members of the panel and the lawmakers still have to approve the eventual map, is that change enough to make enough difference in the process that we're talking about?
I think that it would make a difference. This is a complicated process that the constitutional amendment proposal sets out, and I think it important to note that ultimately the state Supreme Court plays a role if any deadlines or procedures are failed to be met. And so the state Supreme Court would, as I think it holds, appoint the Chief Justice and maybe another judge of a different party. So I think the process will be an improvement over the present process.
We have a caller here we want to get to. Let me also introduce again the guests for anyone who might have just tuned in the last 5 or 10 minutes. Jen Zarnick is Executive Director of the League of Women Voters of Illinois. She's joining us by phone. Here in the studio is Jim Nolan. He's a senior fellow with the Institute of Government and Public Affairs here at the University of Illinois, has been a longtime observer of Illinois politics. We're talking about the way that legislative districts are drawn here in the state of Illinois. Every 10 years, they're redrawn after the census, and some people here in the state, among them the people in the League, as well as the Illinois Campaign for Political Reform, the Better Government Association, Common Cause Illinois, the Illinois Chamber of Commerce, a number of these organizations have all gotten together, and they are endorsing the Illinois Fair Map Amendment, which would change the way that the districts are drawn. And if you're interested in finding out more about this, the website to go to is www.ilfairmap. So the do that is all one word, ilfairmap.com. We have a caller here, someone to bring into the conversation, someone in Champaign. We'll do that. Line one. Hello.
Hi, David. This is Pat Schmitz. I'm a student here at the university. I wanted to say to Jen, I'm really impressed by this program you're proposing. It sounds like it really goes to the heart of what's kind of going on with the elections here in Illinois. But as David had just asked Jim, he asked, would this go really to the heart enough of what our election problems are here in Illinois? And it seems to me that a lot of the issue seems to be with how elections are actually carried out between two parties, and that even if we could more fairly draw our maps, we're still going to have either kind of Democrats or Republicans in the state of Illinois being elected, and that the party leadership may still end up taking essentially the same shape or at least having the same goals. Now, I'm kind of curious, how are campaigns financed in Illinois? And do you think if campaign finance laws were fixed, or made to be more fair, in that maybe a third party or other parties could be part of the politics here in Illinois without fighting a massive uphill battle, that might be a big part of the solution?
Well, it's a good question. First, I'll give Jim a chance to respond, and then Jen, you can do the same.
And Jen may be better on the detail, but it should be noted that during the last legislative session, the legislature did adopt campaign finance reform, and this reform limits the amounts of contributions that can be made by individuals and businesses. I think the recent Supreme Court decision on freeing corporations from limitations might play into this, and Jan may have some counsel on that matter.
The League actually supports public finance. That's what we think will open up our elections to people, good candidates of all parties or independent candidates. I do want to point out that in the last gubernatorial election, the Green candidate, Rich Whitney, got, I think it was about 10% of the vote or more. He got enough for the Green Party to become an established party in Illinois, and that's because so many voters were so disgusted or unhappy. I shouldn't speak for all the voters, but certainly they were unhappy with the choices for governor from the two major political parties that enough voted to make the Green Party an established party. I don't see the legislature making more changes in campaign finance law in Illinois than they already have. So, yes, I agree with you that that has a great deal to do with the consolidation of political power in the state. I don't see that happening unless and until the state is in good enough financial shape for us to convince them to pass public financing, number one. And I cannot tell you in stronger possible terms how much it matters how these districts are drawn. I first started working as a public interest lobbyist in the General Assembly in 1981. That was the first time I worked on redistricting, so this will be my fourth go-around. The situation now is, the situation that we've had for the last 30 years, is that these districts are drawn to protect incumbents from both parties. So coupled with the how now, the changes that we've had in campaign finance in Illinois, actually, the one thing they don't limit is how much money and what's called in-kind assistance the legislative leaders can give to people running for the House and Senate in their party. So actually, the change we've recently had in campaign finance law enhances the powers of the legislative leaders. So it becomes ever, ever, ever more important to make sure that these districts are not drawn to advantage either party and to protect incumbents. And the way that we do that is that this is a constitutional amendment. This language will put right into the Illinois Constitution that party affiliation and voting history and incumbent residence cannot be used to draw the districts. The only exception to the use of voting history and party affiliation is to protect minority voting rights. I also want to point out that what our proposal does, what it's called denesting of the House and Senate districts. Right now, each Senate district has two House districts within the same border. We separate the drawing of the House districts from the drawing of the Senate districts. The reason for that is this will produce more majority-minority districts around the state, more opportunities for people to get elected to the House who have not had those opportunities in the past. So a map drawn in the way that we've laid out in this constitutional amendment actually helps people of neither, you are now not elected officials of either major political party.
All right. Well, I want to thank the caller. We are at our midpoint here and would welcome others. If you'd like to call in, ask a question, make a comment, 333-9455. Toll free, 800-222-9455. And email will-talk@illinois.edu. It sounds from the picture that Ms. Zarnick was painting, Jim, it sounds as if this happened, it would have the potential to change the General Assembly and change Illinois politics maybe more than almost anything else, except perhaps some really serious and dramatic campaign reform.
I don't know that it would change politics all that dramatically, because the nature of the game is such that the organization is on a partisan basis, and the majority party, whichever it would be under this new system, would still try to dominate and would still, as Jan pointed out, have the special influence that the leaders have because of their ability to fund campaigns of their backbenchers. But I think it would improve the process in that it would open it up, and it would also, I think, provide an opportunity for representation on the basis of what the public or the voters feel is important in their respective districts, and that there would be more competition because of the districts not being related to incumbents' former districts, and thus it would refresh the process.
Mm-hmm. I want to make sure also here people understand what it is that's being proposed. This is really a two-step process. Initially, there is a petition drive that is asking people to sign their names to something that says, we want this to be on the ballot.
Yes.
Then once that happens, then the idea would be, this question would be on the ballot then in November. This would be the constitutional amendment. People would be asked, well, do you want to do this? Do you not want to do this?
And, yes.
And so that's how it works. So
yes.
How many signatures are you looking for, and what's your deadline?
We have to file 280,000 valid signatures, and valid means that the petition signers must be registered voters in the jurisdiction where they are signing the petition, and that the petition must be notarized and submitted by May 2nd. I just want to point out that to run for governor in Illinois, you only have to submit petitions with 5,000 names on them. To get a constitutional amendment on the ballot, we need at least 300,000 signatures because, of course, they all won't be valid. And we expect the signatures to be challenged line by line by the powers who don't want to see redistricting reformed. So we are looking to collect at least 300,000 signatures by the end of April.
Mm. And I should note that it's easy to download petitions from the League's website, which I did the other day, and they're pertinent to the respective counties, and that's important because sometimes person from a neighboring county will sign in Champaign, and they have to have the correct county is what I'm saying on the petition, and this helps.
Yes, they absolutely have to have the correct county. They also have to print out the petition two-sided. So either print it out two-sided or put it through a copy machine two-sided, because the back of the petition must show the language of the amendment itself. The process, you know, is a bit complicated, and again, there's no accident about that. The powers that be don't want it to be easy for citizens to change the Constitution. But we believe it's really, really, really worth the effort. Jim is right. The website is very user-friendly, ilfairmap.com. You go to the website, you pick out your county, or in the case of a few cities in Illinois which have an election commission, your city, you download the petition, make sure it's printed on two sides, and go out and get those signatures. Incidentally, to circulate a petition, you just have to be at least 18, a citizen of the United States, and a resident of Illinois. So you can circulate petitions anywhere.
Well, I want to make sure that people who are listening know that questions, comments, welcome. Again, I want to give the numbers 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. And you may also email your questions, comments to will-talk@illinois.edu. Back at the beginning of the program, I think I mentioned it at least one time that in talking about this, the lottery process, the pulling the name of the person and the party out of the hat, that the state of Illinois was the only state that did this. I want to ask both of you, maybe I'll ask Jim and Jen Zarnick, maybe you have something to say about it too. How do other states deal with redistricting? If we're the only state that does it like this, what are other states doing?
Well, there are a number of iterations among the 50 states, but about 30 states plus use the legislative process to redistrict the legislature and Congress, and about 20 states use a commission at some point in the process, such as Illinois does right now with the legislature and then the commission. But we have that unique feature that you've mentioned already that provides one-party complete control of the map-drawing process should it go to a tiebreaker. I think that the commission form has the potential for separating itself from the legislative process and the tendency of legislators to want to draw districts that are favorable to them to themselves. But as about 30 states continue to use the legislature to do the redistricting.
Mm-hmm. Of course, all of those states aren't in the terrible shape that Illinois is, I feel compelled to point out. And also, where states have changed how they do redistricting, states are moving to the commission form that we have specified in our proposal. The way that we came to the specifics of our proposal was that we did look at best practices in other states. And I know people in Illinois often reference the Iowa model. We started with the Iowa model that was in the Collins Reform Commission proposal and recommendations to the legislature. We attended all of the hearings around the state that the Senate Redistricting Committee held, and I really do want to commend the Senate for holding redistricting hearings. We heard a lot at those hearings. We learned a lot at those hearings. We worked very closely with the Brennan Center for Justice at New York University, which specializes in voting rights and redistricting issues, and developed a proposal that we think works well for Illinois. My favorite commentary about our situation in Illinois actually comes from David Yepsen, who's the director of the Paul Simon Policy Institute. This was in an op-ed that the Southern Illinoisan published on December 15th, and he said, and I'm quoting, "Think of it this way. If someone doesn't think they can get fired, they can become arrogant, sloppy, or lazy. Their logic becomes one of, who cares if this budget is a mess? No one is going to defeat me. Or who cares if I put a relative on the payroll? No one can take me out." The goal has to be taking control of the crayons away from legislators when new maps are drawn and giving those crayons to independent groups.
This, as you pointed out, this is something that you've been involved in one way or another for a while. People have been talking about this for some time. And I think that now just recently the issue has been given some new energy as a result of some of the recommendations made by the Governmental Reform Commission that the governor appointed. They had a number of things to say. They talked a lot about campaign finance reform, and redistricting reform was another thing, the Collins Commission, another thing that they talked about. So that at least gives a little bit of new energy to this process. But having said all that, the fact that it is something that has been talked about for a long time now, and there's been a fair amount of resistance in Springfield, what do you think that the possibility is that something actually is going to happen here? Or I suppose it comes down to the question, do you think that people are concerned about this enough so that there will be enough activism, people will sign the petitions, and then if it gets on the ballot, people will vote for it?
Well, that, of course, is the big challenge, and I would turn to Jan to ask how the drive is coming along, and are there enough groups with enough individuals out there circulating petitions, because May 2nd will be here before we know it.
Right, May 2nd will be here before we know it. Well, we are reaching out to everyone who has ever contacted us about working on their issues in the state legislature. It's interesting. I sprained my ankle last week, so I had a few days where I had to hang out at home with, you know, ice and elevating. And I was monitoring our Facebook page. And it's interesting what folks with political organizations have signed up as our Facebook friends. So the minute the election is over, which means tomorrow, we will be contacting those folks and asking them to have their volunteer political organization circulate our petitions. We'll see. Jim is absolutely right. We'll see. We at the League feel that it's our responsibility to the people of Illinois to tell them what we think about how to solve this problem. And to encourage us to join us in doing that. But we certainly can't do it alone. We don't have 300,000 members in Illinois. So we are, you know, reaching out everywhere we can, doing programs like this. Thank you so much, David, for having us. We are meeting with editorial boards throughout the state where we are universally well-received. And we're doing everything we can. We'll see. We'll see if the voters are willing to take the responsibility to do this, because the voters are going to have to take the responsibility to do this or it's not going to happen.
Jim, I wonder if you have some sort of feeling about how it is that people in Springfield and in the General Assembly would think about this idea. I mean, how many of them maybe wouldn't say it on the record, but would say, you know, maybe this would be a good idea. You have some feeling?
Well, I think the party in the minority right now, the Republican Party, finds this attractive, and they may even be helping in the petition drive. I think formally, or at least informally, and Dale Ryder was one who, as Jan has mentioned, who I think favors reform of the process on the premise that it would give a greater chance to the minority to be represented, maybe somewhat reflective of their voter in identification, and that in turn maybe they would have a chance to even garner a majority. Am I correct, Jan, that the Republican Party is helping in the petition drive?
Yes. Some members of the Republican Party are, yes. But, you know, you raise an interesting question, because it's not as though the Republican Party is, you know, has any guarantee about what the outcome would be for them. It would have, you know, forcing the members appointed to the commission by the legislative leaders to come to a bipartisan agreement would certainly be better for the Republicans than if we have the same people in power now as we will when it's time to do redistricting next year. But we may not. You know, we don't know who the governor is going to be next year. We don't know if the House and Senate will still be controlled by Democrats. You know, we'll see what happens in November. So I agree with you, though, that this political question is not about ideology. It's about power. And so at the moment, it's the Republican Party that stands to benefit, but it could just as easily be the Democratic Party under different circumstances. You know, we may have a situation after the November election where we have the Democrats still in control of both the House and the Senate, but a Republican governor who then would not approve a map sent to him by the Democratic leaders of the General Assembly. That's a complicated process with a lot of uncertainty, frankly, for both political parties. And so at the moment, I would say we have more Republican support than Democratic support, but we do have some Democrats also supporting us.
I think it's maybe akin to game theory here in terms of the probabilities of what might happen.
Yeah.
In other words, if you use the present system, you're either going to get an outstanding or a terrible outcome from the system. If you use a new system that takes it somewhat out of the hands of legislators, then you might get a so-so or a mediocre outcome. And I guess the question is, are you willing to risk the terrible outcome and to replace it with a mediocre or somewhat balanced outcome?
Yeah. Well, at least so far, we know how that's gone. They're willing to flip the coin to have the big win rather than have the sort of mediocre outcome that maybe everybody gets a little bit. They'd rather have the situation where I want a shot at getting it all.
That's correct.
That's what they're doing. All right. We have an Urbana caller here, line number one. Hello.
Hello. I just have a question. If an individual wants to sign the petition but doesn't want to necessarily go around and pass the petition and so on, how does one person, I mean, can they download the thing, sign it, send it in?
Yes, you may download it and sign it. You still have to have it notarized.
Okay.
Because if you're the only person signing it, then you're also considered to be the circulator, and the circulator has to have it notarized. If we get any petition, even if it's signed by a legitimate voter or voters, that is not notarized by the circulator, the signatures will not be valid.
Okay. All right. And I know I live in Urbana, so Urbana Free Library has a notary there.
Yes.
Every day that it's open. So
yes.
It's not certainly hard to do in Urbana.
No, not at all.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Well, if people would like to know whether there are petitions being circulated in their area, Jan, could people contact the local branch of the League, and would they know that?
Yes, they would know that. Also, they can just email us through the ilfairmap.com website, and we will answer them via email, or they could phone us. We will certainly get back to them. We are circulating petitions all through the state.
We have about 10 minutes left in this part of Focus 580. We're talking about this proposal to change the way that legislative districts are drawn. Every 10 years, they're redrawn. That's because of the census. And we've talked about this process where the lawmakers get together and they try to come up with a map. And if they can't, what ultimately has happened now the last three times, 81, 91, 2001, in effect, we've had a kind of a lottery where, one, there's an opportunity for one or the other party to gain control of the process. The Democrats won that lottery in 1981 and 2001, and the Republicans won in 1991. That's the process as it is. And a coalition of groups, including the League of Women Voters of Illinois, but also the Illinois Campaign for Political Reform, the Better Government Association, Common Cause Illinois, the Illinois Chamber of Commerce, there are a number of them that are backing this proposal to change the process. And again, if you're interested in finding out more about this, the website for this effort is ilfairmap.com. So you can go there and you can learn more about it. Questions are welcome to 333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455, and email will-talk@illinois.edu. Here's another caller, somebody in Champaign, line one. Hello.
Good morning.
Yes.
I have a question about the form. I was going to circulate it, and it says that I reside at blank, and I live in, I have an Urbana address, but I'm actually a county resident. So what would I put in that blank? I don't want to void the thing after going through it, getting it filled out.
Oh, in terms of being the circulator?
Right.
The good thing is that you can live anywhere in Illinois. That is the one thing that's not restricted.
But what do I put in a blank is what I want to know.
I would use the address that you use for your voter registration.
But for the city, do I put, since I'm a county resident, now I don't really live in Urbana, but I have an Urbana address, would I put Urbana in a blank?
Yes, if that's your legal address, yes.
Okie dokie. Well, that's all I wanted to know. Thank
all
you.
All right, thank you. And does the person who is circulating the petition have to live in the place where they're trying to get the signatures? I mean, that you know, for example, if you live in Urbana, do you have to be only working to gain signatures of people who live in Urbana, or could there be people who live anywhere?
There can be people who live anywhere in Illinois.
All right. Let us talk again with another caller here. We'll go to, let's see, this would be Urbana and line two. Hello.
Hi. My brother, Joe Whalen, was a Urbana City Councilman for 26 years, and he spent a lot of time drawing up a map redistricting Champaign-Urbana because he thought it needed to be done. I believe, as I understand it, he included a district for students. I'm wondering, he died in August of 08. I still have those materials, and I wonder, would it be useful to send them to anyone now?
It's a bit early to send it now. However, if you would please email us, the email is ilfairmap, that's ilfairmap, at gmail.com, about where we could get in touch with you at the time. By the time, I mean when redistricting actually gets underway.
Okay.
Thank you. That's great.
All right. Thank you. Well, I have gotten an email from somebody here now. I really don't know what the circumstances are. First of all, someone who said that they tried to print out the petition and it wouldn't print. So I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah, I think that's something with their computer,
okay.
Their printer.
The other thing was that the comment of the person writing was that he suspected that Republicans here in our area would rather not see this pass. For what it's worth, I share a pass on the comment. I don't know if, Jimmy, you would have anything to say about that.
No, I don't. I haven't talked with the local Republicans about that, and so I don't happen to know. But in a general context, it seems to me that the Republicans feel that the map would be fairer and that they have not been treated fairly to this point, and therefore they would be better off.
I do want to point out, however, that when the Republicans had the power to draw the map, the Democrats felt the same way, that they were not treated fairly. So it really has been a bipartisan activity. Both parties have engaged in this over the years.
Right. To another caller here, someone up calling, I think, from around Chicago on our toll-free line, line four. Hello.
Hey, hi, good morning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think both parties are evil. I don't know why people don't go to an alternative. Beats the hell out of me. But I just started the last 10, 12 years ago voting third-party candidates instead of, you know, the either-or, because I think they're both evil. I mean, I honestly do. I think they're both in it together, and they just there's no difference between a Democrat and a Republican. And I don't know, do you think that's true or what? Do you think I'm just talking crazy about it?
No, I think there are value differences between the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. So I think you can discern significant differences. Looks like you. Anyway, I think that the parties represent values, and that there are differences. But you have the opportunity of voting the Green Party, which, as Jan noted, is now considered a major party, quote unquote, and is on the ballot, and takes a smaller number of petitions for them to petition signatures for them to be on the ballot each year.
Well, it's getting kind of rough. I have a friend of mine that's running, Dan Karas, and he had a heck of a time trying to get, you know, once you get all the signatures, you go down there, and they play all sorts of games on, you know, trying to hide things and make it last minute for him to go down. He did something, and he had to, somebody contested it, and they notified him the day of the contestant. Well, he's an Elgin. And they had to go clear down to Springfield in the same day to try and meet this, like, 24-hour time frame.
Politics is a rough game in Illinois. There's no question.
Yeah, and the parties, the two, the Republicans and the Democrats, both, they're certainly not going to make it easy for someone to get into the game.
Politics in Illinois has been described as football without muscles.
Or as the late Mayor Harold Washington said frequently, politics ain't beanbag here.
Well, I want to thank the call. We just have a couple of minutes left. One question I want to ask you, just to make sure that, again, people understand, that if this gets on the ballot in November, and if it passes, then there is enough time to organize the new commission, have it draw the map, and make this all happen in the specified time frame to get new districts drawn, right?
Yes, absolutely. And also, as I mentioned earlier, under the system that we're proposing, the public can submit maps for consideration to the Redistricting Commission, which will be a sea change from what's happened in the past. And also, thanks to the Joyce Foundation, it will be easy and free for anyone who wants to go to their website, which is not up yet. They're still developing the software, and produce a map for the whole state or for any part of the state. So, we really are looking for a sea change, to make a sea change in the way redistricting is done in Illinois.
It strikes me as the potential, though, to make the process even more, well, it makes the process more open. It makes the possibility for more people to be involved. It seems also to lead toward a process that is a lot more complicated and a lot messier when it comes to drawing the maps.
Excuse me, David. Let me start this sentence again. It won't make it complicated or messy. It'll just have way more people out in the public involved. Mm-hmm. Right now, the map is drawn by the legislative leaders of whichever political party has the power right after the census is taken. It's drawn privately. It's introduced and passed quickly.
I think there's a possibility that this would go to the state Supreme Court for the appointment of a special master. In other words, David is right. The process is multi-step process, and it requires a two-thirds vote of the legislators. And
I'm sorry to interrupt, but there's, you're missing an important step. If the legislators twice fail to accept a map, then the commission gets to approve a map. The commission would get to approve. So only if they failed to do that would it go to the Supreme Court.
Right, but you have the challenge of the commission itself selecting the ninth member. I mean, there are some challenges in the process, and I'm just saying that if they fail, it does go to the state Supreme Court, which appoints a special master who would be expected to be unbiased and balanced in his or her drawing of a map or selection of a map.
Yes.
We're coming down to the point here. We have maybe about a minute or so left, and I hope that we have at least explained well enough what's involved here, what the process is. Let me ask Jan Zarnik now, is there any other last, anything that we have skipped over, ignored, not given enough attention to, so that people will be fairly certain that they know what it is that's being proposed here?
No, I think, David, you've really done a great job describing a complicated process, and our program also wouldn't have been nearly as good without Jim Nolan, so thank you as well, Jim. And for those of you listening, please get out there and sign and circulate those petitions.
And Jim, what sort of idea would you like to leave folks with?
Well, if folks feel that the present system is broken, this is an opportunity to impose some change on the system. And so I hope people have not grown so cynical of politics in Illinois that they're unwilling to take a part, either as a circulator of petitions or certainly as a petition signer.
Let me turn back to Jan here, because in your role as the executive director of the League, obviously you're involved with League efforts to get citizens involved in politics, to get them to participate. And it seems to me that, and this is completely informal and unscientific in my talking with people, that I don't think I've ever seen a level of cynicism, disappointment, disengagement as high as I see it now, with
yeah.
so many people saying, you know, I'm not interested in participating. I'm disappointed by my choices. When you have an opportunity, today we have a primary going, and it's expected the turnout is going to be quite low because
yes.
people are so disconnected from the process.
And that is why we are saying to people, here is something you can do. We citizens can do this to take back an important piece of control of our politics and our government in Illinois. It is something we can do.
And I think the increased partisanship we see at both the national level and within the state of Illinois, and for that matter in other states, is a result of, in part, of redistricting, which is based on incumbency protection.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to have to leave it at that. For people who want to find out more about the Illinois Fair Map Amendment, the website is www.ilfairmap.com. You can go there, and certainly I'm sure, Jan, if people want to find out more about the League and its activities, that you have a website.
Yes, lwvil.org.
And our guest, Jan Zarnik, she is Executive Director of the League of Women Voters of Illinois. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Here in studio with us, Jim Nolan, Senior Fellow with the Illinois Institute of Government and Public Affairs, here based in the campus of the University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign. One thing that you might want to do if you're interested in Illinois politics, you can look at a book which he has co-authored along with Sam Gove and Rick Winkle. The title of the book is Illinois Politics, A Citizen's Guide. It's published by the University of Illinois Press. Thanks very much, Jim, for being here.
Thank you for having me.